plan.
I'm Ken Apperson. You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 Tampa WMNF. We are here in studio on this beautiful Florida Friday. Depending on where you are in Tampa Bay, it's either raining or sunny right now, as is often customary in this area. And I couldn't be more thrilled to introduce you to those of you who don't already know. Her reputation precedes her as an incredible singer, songwriter, performer. She's been all over the country. She's had her musician's pilgrimage out to LA and is back to tell the tale as a survivor. Connor Zwetch, everybody, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ken.
Man, so first of all, she came in here with some awesome gear. She's got a beautiful guitar, and I really can't wait for you all to hear her voice. You can find her all over the internet. She's got the standard social media platform. She's on all of the normal streaming services. And speaking of those streaming services, if you are a person that has happened upon this show just by chance on the actual radio airwaves, but you typically tune into podcasts and listen to things online, you can do that with this show too. You can find this show, Live Music Showcase, on all of your normal streaming platforms. All of our past month's episodes are on there. You can also listen to every episode that's happened over the past 2 years. If you really want to dig into the old nitty gritty beautiful shows that have happened on this on these airwaves, on WMNF.org. So Connor's going to play a few songs for us. We're going to learn a little bit about who she is, where she comes from, where her songwriting inspiration stems from. And with any luck, by the end of this show today, you guys will all be big fans of hers. I know I already am, and I feel pretty confident about that happening. So no pressure, Connor.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
yeah, of course. Absolutely. So what's the first song you want to play today?
I was thinking about playing the song that I have on my upcoming album, Lemon Flavored Something.
Lemon Flavored Something. What's that about?
That is about, it's kind of about the modern day hookup culture, and kind of specifically about someone that I experienced that was not very upfront about their relationship with other people.
You don't say.
Yeah, and so I think it kind of just stemmed as a funny song talking about how someone kind of leaves you hanging a lot and isn't very honest, and it's all about living in the moment these days. And I kind of, it's just a little bit of a sarcastic song about how we should probably stop caring so much about ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear it.
Cool. Here we go.
Go for it. You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 WMNF.
Such a sucker for a sad-eyed girl, but she promised it was the last time, the last time. And though she cries for help, she only does it to herself. But I keep myself on the line. Hannah's got a lemon-flavored something from her mother's fridge. She tells me that she's coming over. I watch the same. She's living in the moment. And I know I'm such a sucker for a night gone wrong. And she tells me I'm only in love with being in love. And though I cry for help, I only do it to myself. Yeah, I keep my heart on the line. All that you wanted, who's who's gonna want you around? Hannah's got a lemon flavored something from her mother's fridge. She tells me that she's coming over. I watch the seconds turn to hours for the hell of it. I guess she's
Connor Zwetch here on Live Music Showcase, WMNF 88.5. So a lemon-flavored something.
Yeah.
What did that lemon-flavored something end up being?
I think it actually was just a phrase that my best friend who I wrote the song with, he always wanted to write a song called Lemon-Flavored Something. So we just...
Really?
Yeah, it was supposed to be an alcoholic beverage. My very first alcoholic beverage was in eighth grade. It was a Mike's Hard Lemonade. So I think we both had similar experiences where we...
Sorry?
I need to change your vocal mic.
Yeah, of course. No problem. Yeah, we love Mark Perfetti here in studio helping us sound the best we can possibly sound. By the way, if you are a Facebook person, as we know a lot of our listeners are, you can check out the live stream right now. We have a nice live stream feed going on our Facebook page, Live Music Showcase. You can just search it in the Facebook search bar. If you're already a follower, if you're already watching right now, thank you. And feel free to leave a comment. Let Connor know how she sounds. And let me know how my right shoulder and right earlobe look on camera. It's kind of over my shoulder here. I always love hearing comments, and I always love giving shout-outs to people who do leave comments. By the way, and last little thing I'll touch on for the moment at least, next week is a very, very important week. Next week is our pledge drive for our show for Live Music Showcase here. So if you are a fan of Live Music Showcase, the former version and the current version, whatever you are a fan of, do us a favor, give us a listen, and donate. If you have a few bucks, if you have a few bills that you want to send to a good cause, you can go to WMNF.org and hit that donate button. Donate whatever you can. And I always like to say, too, you know, talk to your friends as well and encourage them to do the same, especially those friends that have some deeper pockets than most of the people here at the station do. You know, if they have a place to put that extra money, this is it. It's a good cause, and this is what we're all about. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, check. Local
hey,
check.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you, as I kind of teased in the beginning there, you have made the journey, the 3,000-mile journey across the nation to the land where supposedly musicians' dreams come true.
Yeah, twice.
Twice.
Yes.
Right, yeah. So first of all, and I don't always dig into age, but you were so young, I think, when you first went. How old were you when you first went?
18.
You were 18,
yeah.
Right. So you were right at that kind of formative, you know, the wings are big enough and I can leave the nest. I'm going to go out and strike out on my own. How did that go for you?
I think it was one of the most wonderful learning experiences that I've ever had, but I wouldn't change it, but I definitely would not recommend it for people. I was 18 and I was playing college soccer and hated soccer at that level. I found
really?
Out, yeah, I used to enjoy it, have fun, and you get to this, like, the top program, and it is absolutely a different world, and I didn't have time to do the things I liked, and I wasn't sure I even really liked soccer that much anymore, so I just really didn't want to be in college, so I dropped out and was like, I guess I'll try the Los Angeles thing and do some music stuff, and I don't know why I thought that was a good idea, but it was...
Seemed like a good plan at the time.
Hey, I met some good friends, I wrote some songs, and so I wouldn't change it, but I definitely... If I had children, I probably would be like, let's not do that. Let's not encourage my kid to go at 18 to live in Los Angeles.
Sure. And was your family very supportive of that decision, or did they give you some friction?
Yeah, definitely friction.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not someone who kind of like lets them decide what I want to do.
Sure.
They don't really stop me from doing the things I want to do. So they support me in a way that they should, but they'll obviously express their concerns. So
yeah, yeah. As any parent, you know, yeah, would I get
absolutely.
That, but you know, musicians, we always want to follow our dreams.
Yeah,
to wherever they're going to lead
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I was a little naive. I look back and I'm like, it's a little bit naive. I think there's more practical ways to follow the dream of being an artist. Do you really need to be in a city to be an artist? I don't think so.
So to that point, you left, you went to LA, you came back.
Yes.
And then you went again.
Yeah, years later.
Years later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking, it'll be different this time.
Well, I actually didn't really
want to go. You had some more opportunities that time too.
Yeah, there was an opportunity to sign with this management
company.
Waiting
for you. Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I'll do this. I'll try it one time. And honestly, I hated it even more the second time. So it was another learning experience. That's how I view it from this point on. But yeah, I didn't enjoy it the second time. I quit playing the local gigs here, you know, where I was making a good living, and wasted a lot of savings trying to do this thing with this management company that wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. So yeah.
Made a lot of promises.
You learn.
Follow through kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I'd love to hear another song.
Yeah.
After that song, I definitely want to dig into a little bit of your perspective of how different the music scene and the music industry is over there in LA compared to how it is here in the Tampa Bay area. Because I really do believe that there are a lot of, maybe not a lot, but there's a strong collection of misconceptions for the casual music listener here in the Tampa Bay area that are true for a lot of other places in the country that aren't true here. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to dig into that in a little bit. But first, I'd love to hear another song.
Yeah, this one's called Rescue Me.
Perfect.
Did you have any fun in the feeling machine? And all your pedals are pulled. We're still stuck in a dream. Well, 'cause it's all been said, but it's never done. You can take the bullets and I'll keep the gun. I'll let you get the best of me. I need somebody to rescue me from the voice in my head telling me it'll never end. Rescue me from the words that she said I wish I could forget. Rescue me, this can't be reality. Somebody rescue me. I've been used up, bruised up. I've been kicked around. I got fed up, so I packed up. I moved to a new town. Well, 'cause it's all been said, but it's never done. You can take the bullet and keep the gun. I let you get the best of me. I need somebody to rescue me from the voice in my head telling me it'll never end. Rescue me from the words that you said I wish I could forget. Rescue me, this can't be reality. Somebody rescue me. And I waited around 'cause you never found the time. Being alone that long has left me trapped inside mind. Well, here I am laying on the floor, wishing to the stars above. Maybe I was hard to love. Was I hard to love? Well, 'cause it's all been said, but it's never done. You can take the bullets and I'll keep the gun. I let you get the best of me. I need somebody. Well, 'cause it's all been said, but it's never done. You can take the bullets and I'll keep the gun. I'll let you get the best of me. I need somebody to rescue me. This can't be reality. Somebody will rescue me. Because it's all been said, but it's never done. You can take the bullets and I'll keep the gun. I'll let you get the best of me. I need somebody to rescue me.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase. We're live here in the Mike Eisenstadt Live Music Studio. We've got Mark Perfetti over there on the ones and twos behind the sound mixing board in there, making us sound as sultry and smooth as we can. Connor especially. Myself as an afterthought, hopefully. Connor Zwetch here in studio with us today. Gorgeous voice, gorgeous performance. We have some comments here in the live stream that I just want to share with you real quick. Beautiful voice. I love it.
Thanks.
Let's see. Hello, all. we have one person in particular that has commented in all caps a number of times. Connor, I'm obsessed with you. Right. I'm your biggest fan. I'm moving to Tampa in hopes I'll see you and we become friends. That's a little on the creepy right. side, but that's all right.
Is this Ethan Frizzell? Okay, yeah, that's
you know that. Okay.
That's my best friend.
That's good. Okay, perfect. Exactly. That's a much safer. Who is that person? A little aggressive. That's fine. We like aggressive comments here. That's good. Glad to see you're back in Florida, Connor. Let's get you over to Orlando for something soon.
All right.
So you're getting gigs. Love it. Yeah. Perfect. That is Beth McKee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Beth.
Hi, Beth. So good. So much talent. The list goes on. I'll read more in a little while. They seem to be just streaming all in right. here. Thank you guys so much for watching on the live stream and for listening on whatever device, wherever you're listening right now. We were talking a little bit before that song about the differences between LA, the music scene in LA, mm-hmm. and the commonly believed things, maybe compared to like what's reality over there. And the same thing for here, the same concepts here. So as a musician myself, like I've definitely, and I know you know this too, we know that unlike in most other places in the country, easy is the wrong word, but it's more simple. It's easier, which isn't a word, but that's fine, to make a living as a musician here in the Tampa Bay area. In terms of not just in terms of like, you know, the pay scales that exist in the venues here, but in terms of like the number of places that are willing to pay a musician a reasonable wage.
Yeah.
And the people that are supporting musicians with their tips and contributions and all that stuff. You've lived both firsthand and you're mm-hmm. here. What does that say about the differences on how you feel about the music industry there compared to here?
Yeah, I think I like to have security, and I like the community here. I like being able to make a living not in a restaurant, which is probably what I would have been doing there. I did work at a restaurant when I was there.
Which restaurant?
Tender Greens.
Tender Greens. Yeah. Mm.
It was pretty cool though. I mean, some cool people would come in, so that was exciting. We had Marcus Mumford came in, who was Lady Gaga.
Wow.
It wasn't even a nice place. It was just a salad place. So
I would hope it was a salad place. With
yeah, Amy Poehler. Yeah, it was cool. So I think living in Tampa and seeing the music scene grow and become what it is. I mean, yeah, there's a part of me that doesn't want to always have to be playing cover gigs and 4 hours of music to make a living, but it's better than my other options. I mean, I didn't get a college degree and I like music, so yeah.
And soccer was a no-go.
Oh yeah, there was not one part of me that ever wanted to play professional soccer.
Right on. So as far as your songwriting then, you know, we all know artistically the environment that we're in when we write has a huge effect on what we end up producing as far as music goes. What do you think are the big differences between your writing style before you went, after, and now since you've been back? Because you've just worked on some new music, right? You just released some new music.
Yeah, well, actually, the reason I left Los Angeles, it was horrific. I was in these songwriting rooms because the management company that I was working with, they wanted me to like write songs with other people. So,
sure.
I mean, some weeks I was in a studio with a stranger like seven times, like all 7 days of the week.
Different strangers.
Yeah, different strangers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes cool melodies come out, but there was no connection. There wasn't anything interesting. I remember like a lot of rhyme dictionaries.
Yeah.
There wasn't much depth.
40 words that rhyme with hat.
Yeah. People were so obsessed with writing a pop song. They wanted to write a hit. They were so eager to write a hit that they weren't even thinking about what they were saying.
About the substance.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I worked with people and we were in their studio and like there were no guitars, you know, it was all like,
Electronic.
Had their little MIDI and then their little MIDI keyboard, and it's fine. Like I like melody, so I learned the importance of melody while I was out there, whereas before I cared more about the words, and so it was great. But since coming back here, I remember the last writing session I had was, I feel bad because it's going to be on the internet, but it was with these kids that graduated from Berklee School of Music, and it's the most embarrassing song, and I contributed nothing to this song because I was like, I want to leave because this song is so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And it was the only song that I wrote while I was there.
What was your least favorite lyric in that song? Can you think of it off the top of your head? Can you say it?
I can, yes.
Okay.
They called the song Red Rover.
Okay.
And they said, bring your body over.
It was just like parentheses.
No, like that's what it was called, and that's what I think it was just called, Red Rover. And I just sat there while they were writing it. I was just like, yeah, whatever you guys, that sounds great. And then that was one of the only songs that got picked up by another artist.
Oh wow!
And so I got an email like months later saying that was picked up, and I was like, yeah, please don't put my name on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your artistic integrity is very important to you.
Yeah, I mean. Not like I like writing dumb pop songs. That was an embarrassing dumb pop song. Yeah. So I think when I got back, I was like, I left there and I was like, I cannot have an experience like that again. Like an entire day was wasted writing a song that I am sad exists.
Yeah. You feel like didn't make the world a better place.
No, Red
Rover, bring your body over.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to find that, and I'm going to start playing it at my own gigs now.
You might be able to. A girl picked it up and she put it out there. So
that's amazing. I'll get with you after the show today to find out about that.
I could probably
just
find
for
it,
fun. I would love to learn that. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. So I'd love to hear another song from you, by the way, if that's
all right,
okay
yeah,
with
definitely.
You.
All right. This one's called Every Angel.
Every Angel. You're listening to Live Music Showcase. We're live in studio right now with Connor Switch. Stick around.
She holds me close, but there's some space between our souls, so our clothes are off. And she built herself a world where everything is magic, but I don't dream at all, 'cause nothing ever happens. Every night she grabs me by the ankles just to disappear, and every morning is more than I can handle. I never asked for whatever you gave me. Like every angel, she wants to kill me. As lonely as I am, I need her to fall. She loves me, she hates me. I'm talking crazy. Everything lately means nothing at all. And she holds my breath, and she's a mess, 'cause I couldn't care less if there's nothing left here. And she deserves a girl who smiles at the weather, so I smile all the time, but nothing's getting better. Every night she grabs me by the ankles just to disappear, and every morning is more than I can handle. I never asked for whatever you gave me. Like every angel, she wants to kill me. As lonely as I am, I need her to fall. She loves me, she hates me. I'm talking crazy. Everything lately means nothing at all. And every night she grabs me by the ankles just to disappear, and every morning is more than I can handle. I never asked for whatever you gave me. Like every angel, she wants to kill me. As lonely as I am, I need her to fall. She loves me, she hates me. I'm talking crazy. everything lately means nothing at all. Like every angel, she wants to kill me. As lonely as I am, I need her to fall. She loves me, she hates me, I'm talking crazy. Everything lately means nothing at all.
That's Connor Zwetch here on Live Music Showcase, 88.5 WMNF. Your songwriting has some, I guess, what now would be considered some 90s elements.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is all I care about. I love, like, I only listen to 90s music.
I love that. Okay, so at the top of your list, as far as, like, if you could, you know, switch bodies with them, who is the songwriter, performer that you would love to take over for one day?
For one day, okay. Yeah. Greg Alexander.
Okay.
From New Radicals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So crazy story. He actually reached out to me during COVID, and I've been in touch with him, and he was helping with the record a little bit.
Wow.
So yeah, he saw this interview I did online for like my EP when I was like 19 years old.
Sure.
And they asked me like if I could go to dinner with someone like and talk music, who would it be? And it was Greg Alexander was the answer. And so he found that online during the darkness of 2020.
Yep.
And I was in bed at like 1 a.m. and I get an email from someone, and I thought it was a complete joke. I was like, this can't be real.
It's
this
a scam.
This is fake.
It's a bot.
Yeah, it ended
up
being.
If I click on it, it'll steal my info and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was pretty great. I mean, it was pretty cool to talk to the person that inspired me to make music, and he's been helping a little bit.
So you got to actually make that connection that songwriters so seldomly get to make with their idols, with their influences.
Yeah.
Did that affect the way that you write? Did it validate you? Did you feel, did it give you an ego boost?
Well, no, because he hadn't, to be honest, I don't think he had listened to my music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Saw the interview.
I think he saw the interview, okay. did a little bit of like quick research and wanted to reach out to someone who had spoken about being moved by his music and was doing the same thing he was doing. It was weird. We were the same age. Like, I'm putting this record out the same age that he put his like debut New Radicals record out. So I think he like may perhaps resonated with
identified with you a little bit.
And honestly, he knew,
take you under his wing.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. And it was, he was definitely aware of what COVID was doing to young musicians. And I think that was definitely part of why he wanted to reach out and felt like he wanted to reach out to someone or me. Yeah.
I mean, it's true. And especially when we were in the thick of it, and I always say this, I don't like to harp on, we all know what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
We were all there. But as musicians, it really did decimate the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so many musicians, it became a catalyst for finding a different line of work, and going the opposite way and just pushing as hard as they could and writing as much as they could and hoping that the world would recover and the industry would recover and they could take flight with all of their new material. Was that how it was for you? Did you find yourself just kind of buckling down and doing some writing?
Well, actually, I got a little bit lucky. I launched my Kickstarter in January of 2020, and it closed out in February of 2020, and I was planning on starting recording the album in March. So I started recording in March, and so I wasn't actually really being creative in like the writing sense, but I was going back and forth to Nashville, and it definitely messed up the vibe of recording because we were sending things out to people and they were sending it back, and it wasn't as exciting and fun of a process as it probably would have been if people were allowed to interact.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I'm not going to dive into the the COVID, as every time I start talking about it with musicians, it always ends up feeling like a support group for everyone.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh man, I got through it. It was day by day.
I liked it because I did get to learn some new cover songs. So now I don't hate playing the same songs as much because I was able to add some more to my repertoire.
You're just freshening it up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So when it comes to the local gigs now, when it comes to the being part of the Tampa Bay music community, and you're here now until the New Radicals, you know, sign you as their new singer
or something.
If only, right? Fingers crossed. We got the Dreamer's Disease. Mm-hmm. So in the Tampa Bay area, as a writer now, from your experiences in LA, do you find that you gained a bunch of knowledge and you brought it back and now you're using it for the current projects that you're working on?
Yeah, I think the wisdom or knowledge that I got from Los Angeles is really don't try to be a successful musician. It was just don't try. It's the don't.
Mikowski?
I asked myself, I don't know that reference.
On Bukowski's gravestone.
Oh,
the writer.
Does it say "Don't try"?
It says
okay.
"Don't try."
Okay, well,
yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
Anyway. No, that's amazing.
Deep cut.
I think that's. I walked away having been like I thought I wanted that thing, and then you go out there and you're like, what am I even trying to do? Is it being a successful musician? Is it about fame? Is it about money? Because I was making money. I could go pay rent in Tampa playing cover gigs around people that I really like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think what I learned was don't try to be something other than good at what you do and what you, and enjoy it. There's no like expectation to be like some famous musician. It's just about, I want to make music that doesn't embarrass me.
So that mentality is great. And the reason why is because it really matches your sound. It really matches your persona. Like you have a very, in the industry, there's a term called honest singing. You know, mm-hmm. I believe you.
Cool.
From the first note, I believe you.
Cool.
And that is a really rare quality for musicians because we're often so emotionally kind of like in our own heads and mm-hmm. we're so focused on our goals, on what we think we want to accomplish, that we sometimes lose sight of who we actually are and what lane we should be in that will actually lead us to the most success. And sometimes that lane isn't exactly where we think it's going to be.
Yeah.
And growing up and realizing that it isn't and deciding, okay, I can either be in this lane and I can be the thing or close to the thing that I wanted to be, or I can keep fighting it and maybe I'll defy my own odds and something will happen. But
yeah.
I may not be happy at the end of that road.
Yeah.
The honest road, in my opinion and experience, for a writer, for an artist, the honest road is the one that at the end of the day, no matter where it leads you, it will lead you to happiness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, an acceptance. I wouldn't be able to accept myself if I was doing things that I didn't really want to be doing for superficial reasons. I think I got out there and was like, why am I doing this? I questioned for the first time, what do I want? I had never questioned it. I was just, here's what musicians try to do. And I had no self-awareness. I was just doing this thing that I thought people were supposed to do if they wanted to succeed in the music industry. And it was like, oh, I don't think I like this very much.
Well, you know, the fact that you did have that, for lack of a better phrase, come to Jesus moment,
yeah.
where you said, okay, I can either be happy and I can do what I want to do, or I can keep trying this path that seems to be making me unhappy. And you did the thing that's hard to do. You decided to make yourself happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's very inspirational.
Yeah, so, I went back to school. I was like, I got to figure out what I'm doing, and went back and wanted to take a break from trying to be a musician.
So with that in mind, I'd love to hear another song.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, this one is called Hannah is a Palindrome.
Hannah is a Palindrome.
Yeah.
That's very literal.
It is.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 WMNF.
For a moment, my world was your head on my shoulder. For a second I thought we would never get older. With your tongue on the gap in my teeth, I didn't want it to mean that much to me. I'm sick of singing to myself, daydreaming I am somewhere else, trying to make sense of the senseless, wondering if you ever really meant it, staring at the wall for days. I swear to God I saw your face, but time has told me not to ask for more. I won't call you my girl, but I won't call you nothing. Don't have to show me where you go when you get lonely, but at least show me something. With with your tongue on the gap in my teeth. I didn't want it to mean that much to me. I'm sick of singing to myself, daydreaming I'm somewhere else, trying to make sense of the senseless, wondering you ever really meant it, staring at the wall for days. I swear to God I saw your face, but time has told me not to ask for more. So go and tell all your friends that it's not stuck in your head. I'm sick of singing to myself, daydreaming I am somewhere else, trying to make sense of the senseless, wondering if you ever really meant it, staring at the walls for days. I swear to God I saw your face, but time has told me not to ask for more.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 WMNF. We're live in studio here with Connor Swetch, fantastic singer-songwriter, the well-traveled musician, if there ever was one, and an excellent attitude considering the places she's gone and the places she'll go in the future, I would imagine, too.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe's the best yes sometimes. Maybe. So as far as what's going on in the future, where is Connor going to be a year from now? Where does Connor want to be a year from now?
I have no idea.
How about that? So I love that answer, first of all. I don't think that's a bad answer at all for a musician, to be fluid, to be flexible and open to possibilities. As far as songwriting goes, did you really enjoy, outside of the people that you had to work with, did you enjoy collaborating?
No. I think that I do enjoy collaborating, depending on the person.
Yep.
And it definitely needs to be someone that I'm connected with on a level that is friendship or romantic or anything that isn't acquaintance or stranger. So I think when I was out there realizing it's more of an introspective craft for me. I don't want to sit here and think of lyrics next to someone I've known for 30 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough to connect with someone that you don't musically trust and you don't necessarily trust.
Do I like what they do? Do I like what they listen to?
So as far as like where your choices come from as a musician, like why music? You went from soccer to music essentially, right?
Yeah.
Why?
I still did play music throughout high school. I think it was just I saw that I liked it more, and it's less running. So
less running. Yeah. unless you're Oasis in the 90s running for the police. Yeah, absolutely. So real quick, making WMNF a beneficiary of your life insurance is a way to ensure that we will be here for years to come. You can even give a small percentage to WMNF. For more information on the WMNF Sustainability Society, contact Ian DeBerry at 813-238-8001 or ian@wmnf.org. So back to what we were talking about.
Thank you.
When it comes to, like, I'm hearing the lyrics that you're writing, and there's some sarcasm in there, and there's some, you know, tongue in cheek even,
absolutely,
in there, which aren't common qualities in songwriting, as we've learned from Red Rover, Bring Your Body Over, more specifically.
I mean, that's profound.
It's profound, yes. It has many levels, many layers to that particular.
That was Berklee School of Music, kids, by the way. Can we talk about that?
We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. How did you develop your songwriting style?
Yeah, so this album was actually very unique because I was writing it with a partner of mine, and it was a completely new and unusual experience. He wrote poetry, and I like to write melodies. And so it was really just a back and forth collaborative experience for many of these songs. Some of them were songs that were that existed before that collaboration came about. But yeah, I think it was, I sometimes don't really want to write words. Like I like to sing and play the song, and sometimes I have nothing to say. So I think it was kind of relaxing to have someone bring an idea and then I could craft it into a song. And I think it was the coolest flow of writing I've ever had. And it would be as simple as I would write an entire song of mumbles and send him the voice recording, and he'd send me a bunch of lyrics back, and then I'd see what I liked, didn't, and I'd add some and then make it actually make sense. And from there, just songs developed. I mean, we wrote some of these in he would spit out things that were really cool, and I'd be like, yeah, but he didn't know how to really fit things into a melody. So it was just kind of working around that was our one issue. But other than that, it was amazing. I didn't have to think as much about what I was saying, because he was trying to, everything on here is personal. We wrote the songs in a way that we were talking about what we were saying. But he said it better than I did a lot of times.
See, that was, I was going to ask too, because you include lots of names in
your songs. I do like doing that though. That's definitely.
It makes them really personal.
Yeah, totally.
Are those the real names of those people?
Some of them. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Were they changed for their identity's sake, or that you didn't want to immortalize them in a song?
So
or
I actually,
just to fit the cadence of the rhyme scheme? Or
I actually only use one name.
One name?
Yeah. And I just, it sings really well, and I like it, and it does have a significant meaning in my life. So,
have you sang it already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a feeling. I think I know.
I sang both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Don't tell me. I like to leave that a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah, absolutely.
If that's okay with you.
Yeah.
So once again, if you're still listening, my name is Ken Apperson. This is Live Music Showcase. We do this here every week at 2 p.m. If you are a radio listener and you're listening right now, maybe you're in your car, you're on your way to and from wherever you're going, maybe you're at home, you're listening on the computer at WMNF.org. If you're listening right now live, thank you so much for listening right now live. If you are listening to us right now from the future in podcast form, thanks so much for listening to us in podcast form. I really love to hear the different ways that people experience this show and how they choose to listen to it. So if you are so inclined, you can go to our Facebook page. You can go to our Instagram page and leave a comment. Let us know how you listen. Let us know the way that you like to consume this show, because I'm always curious about that kind of stuff. So we have a little bit of time left. We might have enough time for maybe two more songs. Right. Could we hear one more right now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, this one's called Faces. Let's get that figured out before that song starts. I have summer months for my guitar are the worst, because
of course it's Florida.
I am totally guilty of leaving it in my car.
Oh yeah,
for 3 days.
When you're a professional musician, it's hard not to. And that's one of those beautiful guitars that has that beautiful authentic sound that comes with a little bit of temperamentalness.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People don't understand, because a lot of times at Clearwater Beach gigs, I have to tune my guitar a lot, and they're like, why are you tuning so much? I'm like, do you see my guitar?
My guitar has its own personality and it matches mine, so leave me alone.
Really.
All right.
Better.
That sounds great. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
You're listening to Live Music Showcase. We're live in studio with Connor Swetch.
Songs can I write on the palm of my hand till they all wash away? I need your arms because I'm falling over. I want you to want me to stay. I wish I knew what I know now. And those summer storms taught me to drown, and they showed me how to waste my time, to break my own heart, and to lose my troubled mind. make a right, 'cause I lose every fight that I start with myself. I never knew just how to be. You said you saw the good in me. What's wrong with everybody else? And I wish I knew what I know now. And those summer storms taught me to drown, and they showed me how to waste my time, to break my own heart, and to lose my mind. And I never asked to live at all, so push me up. I wish I knew what I know now. Those summer storms taught me to drown, and they showed me how to waste my time, to break my own heart, and to lose. I wish I knew what I know now. Those summer storms taught me to drown, and they showed me how to waste my time, to break my own heart, and to lose my troubled mind.
I love it. You're listening to Live Music Showcase on 88.5 WMNF. I'm your host, Ken Apperson. We're here in studio with Connor Zwetch. She's singing us a couple of her songs, telling us a few stories from the road, a little bit of insight about how she became a songwriter here in the Tampa Bay area. You can find out where she's playing all around town. I mean, you probably have a schedule up right now, don't you?
No, yeah, I don't post my schedule.
You don't post your schedule at all?
No.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'll happen upon
it's
her.
The same every, it's the same every week, though. So, yeah, I play at Ruby's Elixir on Saturday nights, 7:30 to 9:30.
Yeah.
I play pretty much every night except Wednesdays and Thursdays right now. So, but I don't post it because I don't always, like, I cancel gigs sometimes.
If sure.
So
it happens.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that is a sure bet for sure. You can listen to her on Spotify. Absolutely.
Well, not yet. You can listen to the old embarrassing stuff that I would prefer
I
no
don't
one
think
listen
it's,
to. So
I
thanks,
don't
Ken.
Think it's embarrassing. I think it's gorgeous, honestly.
Thank you.
I was listening to it on the way over here, and I really
thanks.
Enjoy everything that you've been a part of, every project
thank
that you've
you.
Been attached to.
Thanks.
Up until now, when is the new project going to be coming out?
So I believe this. I'm going to put the single out in November,
yeah.
And then I think the album's going to come out in February. It's done, or just kind of planning around how to release it.
It's a smart way to
yeah.
do it, I think.
Yeah.
yeah. Check the weather as far as the climate, as
yeah.
far as you know, tastes and whatnot, what's going on in the world around
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I guess my manager said that putting it out after Thanksgiving is a terrible idea. So before Thanksgiving is...
if it's yeah. not a Christmas album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to wait till February.
When's
so.
The Christmas album going to come out?
Honestly, I have always had a dream of doing a Christmas
have you
album.
Really?
Like a cool, like, folky rock Christmas
sure.
album. Absolutely. I would love to do that. I would love to, but not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Maybe when I'm bored and 50.
Fun fact about musicians, for those of you out there that don't travel in these circles, most musicians look at a Christmas album as a retirement package because it just pays year after
Ever.
Year after
yeah,
year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have just enough time, I think, for maybe one more song.
All right.
So what song is the last song you want to play?
This one's called Loud Song for Lost Girls. This is going to be the single off of the album.
This is going to
yeah.
be the new single.
Yeah.
Have you ever performed this anywhere else before? In terms of, like, this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I
media?
Performed it. No. I haven't. No. Just live.
World
around.
Premiere.
Yeah. No, this
yeah.
is not a good time to world premiere this song.
yeah.
So, yeah, I'll play this one. It is a song that I that is a little bit rough on my voice.
Well, tell me a little bit about it. What is this song about?
This song is about, I think it was just kind of supposed to embody the feeling of being lost and young and loving to listen to music and feeling misunderstood and seeking that. Like, I just wanted to write a song for the people, like for the, like young girls who kind of felt like me, like a little bit lost, a little confused and unsure of themselves when they were.
I love that you just said that, because it tells me how like in sync we are right now. Yeah. Just, I really want to know if you have the girl that you were when you first got into music.
Yeah.
Standing in front of you, what's the most important piece of advice you could share with her?
Oh gosh, I have no idea.
Come on, pressure's on. What do you think?
Advice, I would probably say invest in Bitcoin.
Invest in Bitcoin, yeah. Okay.
Seriously, and then I wouldn't have to do a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I could just, invest in Bitcoin, 12-year-old Connor.
She's moving to LA, what do you tell her?
I would tell her, I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm on the spot. I would probably, invest in Bitcoin.
Invest in Bitcoin. Don't move to LA until you see if the Bitcoin investment pans out. I love it.
I don't even know if it existed back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, loud song for lost girls.
I'm a shadow on a rooftop, trying to make the time stop, wondering how it all got upside down. I lie and say it's not so hard, it's not so bad if you look a little closer at it. If it's only just a fever, why don't I believe her so we can shoot again? And every conversation's boring, leaves me wanting more than I deserve to ever have. Talk about it, and if it's only just a feeling, the sky is just a ceiling, I guess. Shoot again. I'm lying on the naked floor, waiting for you to get here. And have you ever lost your mind just to realize that no one even thinks about you? People change, and they won't just stay the same. They never stay the same. And all you can do is hold on tight, wait for something to go right, but nothing will go right. And have